Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori and me, will invite a bookish guest to share their favorite book recommendation. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. Today's bookish guest is Lauren Blinn. Lauren, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hi, Laura. Thanks for having me. First off, I'm a bookstagrammer. I'm at Bookish Lore. I've been bookstagramming for about a little over a year now, and just having the time of my life talking to people about books. And it is a hobby for me. I know some people use it as a career, but it's a hobby for me. I generally read like YA books and adult contemporary sci-fi fantasy, and definitely romance. So, let's see what else. I'm married with three crazy cats that usually read with me.
Aw, that's so cute.
Sometimes it's annoying, but yeah, for the most part, it's cute.
That's true. So today we're going to talk about how we met, which was a romance candy crush at BookCon. And then, so we'll talk about BookCon, we'll talk about romance, and we're going to talk about book recommendations. So, okay. So what was your experience like for BookCon?
BookCon was, as a introvert mostly, was overwhelming. I just remember there was just so many people. And in my defense, that was my first con. I'd never been to a con at all and decided to just, let's just go full haul and just go to BookCon. And I at least had done some research. That's probably the first thing I would tell people. Do research and figure out, like, even though they say ARC drops, usually the ARC drops have to have tickets and they drop those off in the morning. Mm-hmm. A lot of people didn't know that. So you'd see people like running around back and forth. Mm-hmm. And there were definitely maybe pack snacks and be willing to stand in line. And there was definitely some publishers that were really, really sweet. If you're nice to them, they'll definitely be nice to you. But don't be pushy. Don't be annoying. Did you have similar experiences?
BookCon is overwhelming. I think I attended BEA beforehand, so I got to get most of the art. So for me, BookCon was just like, there's thousands of people, there's thousands of lines, and it's just overwhelming. So I tend to stick around for the panels as opposed to going on the show floor, because it was just too overwhelming for me. It was like, I'm an introvert, and there's like too many crowds.
I did do panels. Like, nobody was at the panels. Like, if you go to listen to the authors, well, except for YA panels, everybody was at the YA panels.
Yeah.
But like Nosferatu, I went to go see the Nosferatu panel, and then we got to see like the first 5 minutes of the first show that was airing on AMC. It was just so neat. And then what was the other one? It was for Curse. With the graphic novelist Frank Miller, I think.
Yep.
And we got to see bits and pieces of that as well, and also how it's going to become a Netflix series. So we got to see a first glimpse of what the main character, the female, the lady in the lake, is going to look like. And it was really cool. It looked kind of like almost like Irish, like moss is growing off the rocks of this waterfall, and she's like coming out of a lake with a sword, and it just looked so neat. And I was like, okay, now I need to read the graphic novel.
Yeah, I do. That's exciting. Yeah, I did Big Sisters Club panel, which was with N.H. Martin, which is like a dream because I used to read Big Sisters Club growing up, so that was kind of like fun. I did the romance panels actually, and they were fun. They were fun to see like the different authors and just hear their experience about like rom-coms and historical romance and like what their flavor they bring into the table.
Oh, that's cool. The other one was audiobooks. They had one on audiobooks, and it had a lot of the narrators in there and how how it's kind of changing and how, like, instead of being, I guess they go to a place to record. A lot of people have like recording in their home that they can also do kind of like self-published, I guess. So that was really cool to listen. And the one thing I took away from that is I cannot remember his name, but I think he was in that panel. He was the one that wrote War Girls that's coming out. And he said that he, one of his, because they asked him, what's your favorite audiobook? And he mentioned Moby Dick. And he says, and the funny thing about it was, is it was part of like the great big read or the big read. And every chapter is narrated by a different person, like Benedict Cumberbatch. I think one of them was like narrated by like an ex-prime minister. Like it was, it just sounded really interesting for an audiobook.
That sounds interesting. Just have a different narrator for each chapter. Is that what you-
Yeah, so it keeps changing. There were definitely some female narrators too. It wasn't all men, so I thought that was really cool. I still need to listen to it and find it.
Yeah, that would be really cool. I don't know if it would be weird. I don't know how I feel about it, because like sometimes you get used to the narrator and you're like, wait, I got used to his voice. It's soothing, you know.
Benedict Cumberbatch, I would probably cry when he stopped talking.
That's true.
You would get on a roll, and then all of a sudden it switched, and you'd have to get used to a different person.
Yeah,
but yeah, I could see that way too.
That's so true. And we met at the Women's Candy Crush event, which was actually a lot of fun. Even though it was a ticketed event, we just got to meet authors and get free books. And it was just kind of like fun. So, which authors did you end up meeting?
Oh my God. I ended up meeting, like, some of these authors are popular, and I had never read books from them before. I have only been in reading in the last year and a half. I stopped reading when I was in college and with a job. And like, I met Tessa Bailey. I got to meet Lissa Cole. There was an author, which was so funny. What was it? It was Crazy Cupid Love. I got to meet Amanda Hager. She was really sweet. She had like a dog print. I remember her because she had a dog print dress on. It was so funny. but everybody was so sweet and so nice. And it was the best part of BookCon right there.
Yeah, that was my favorite part of BookCon. It was like such a treat because I got to meet the authors. And yeah, the free books were nice, but it was just like, it was fun to just meet the authors and just talk to them and get a sense of what their, you know, what their writing is. And it was just like, and they were so nice. Everyone was so sweet and so nice. And the lines were magical.
Yes. And it was like, everyone knew like, okay, there's like eight people in that line. Because the whole premise of it was they gave us eight tickets. And you use the ticket for one of the, I think there were over 15 authors there. There were almost 20. And you got to pick which book you wanted, and then they would sign it and personalize it for you. But they also gave you like a cardboard cutout, and you could go around and get everybody to sign this like cardboard poster that said Romance Candy Crush BookCon 2019 on it if you wanted to do that. But it was definitely the highlight. I did not expect it at all. I got the email that I was invited to it maybe 2 days before BookCon. So it was definitely a surprise for me.
Yeah, I got it Friday. I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Because
I didn't know anybody that was going either.
Yeah, my experience with BEA was there was no romance, so I was so disappointed. I was like, I only got Twice the Blue Moon, which is like really good find. But other than that, I didn't get any romance books, and I was like, I really want romance. And so I was like, I got the email on Friday morning, and I just jump up and down. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to the romance thing. And I knew Melanie from Mel to the NE because we've been hanging out for BEA. So when she got the email, she's like, I got the ticket. I was like, perfect. It was like, perfect. And then we start meeting all this hodgepodge crew who's like, yeah, I got the ticket. I'm like, this is amazing. So, then we met you because we stayed to the end.
I turned around and I know I saw Melanie. I was like, that has to be Mel to the NE. She's got the blonde hair.
Yeah.
Like talking to you in the corner. And the funniest thing was, I didn't even know this at the time, but I was following you like maybe the week or 2 weeks before, and I had saw on your stories that you were going to Romance Candy Crush, and I was trying to remember when I got that email. I was like, who else is going to this? And I think I messaged you, and we were supposed to meet up, and then everything was so hectic Sunday. And it was so funny. I walked over to Melanie and I was like, hi, Melanie. And you were like, hi, I'm Laura. And I'm like, what was your last name?
I know.
That was just so funny. I was like, I was supposed to meet up with you.
I know. Because I'm like, and I'm shy. Like, Melanie was a social extrovert who basically got to know everyone. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to tag along here. And I'm like, I'm an introvert. So it's like, it's hard for me to just come like, hi, how's it going? How's it going? So it was fun.
Oh, yeah. It's like one-on-one is five. It's in that environment where there's so many people, it just gets overwhelming. I keep using that word, but it was, there's just so many people, and in a good way. They're all book nerds. So are running around excited just as much as you are.
Yeah. So it was a fun adventure, and we stayed till the end. So we end up getting more books, which is actually something a trick if you ever want to stay to the end of the event, because you never know, the authors may not want to carry all 100 books that they have it. So okay, you may get extra
that's
books.
The other part. I probably would have got there early and left, but because I got lost, I had no idea where the VIP section was. I asked three different people. And so by the time I got up there, it was 15 minutes or so late. So I was like one of the last people going through. So because I was, I guess, last almost, that I got to meet y'all and see y'all and get extra books. So that was definitely it was meant to be.
There we go. That's awesome. And you've been a romance reader. You've been reading romance lately, right?
Oh my God. I've been a romance reader since I was a teen. Yeah. I just stopped reading for a while during college. But like the last month, the ones I've been reading that I just got introduced to were Tessa Bailey, Tessa Dare, and I think Helena Hunting. I went on a crazy audiobook binge of definitely Helena. I think it's Helena Hunting's Shacking Up series.
Yeah. Have you read her POC series?
No, I have heard about it, but I have not read her Puck series.
So you write it down. Far, my favorite series of all time. I would tell you, it's so really funny. The banter is on point. It's steamy. There's things that are not safe for work that I may not mention. There's a costume. That's what I would tell you. There's a costume related that's not safe for work. That's so good and so funny. Like, Violet is my spirit animal. Like, that's the heroine from the first book. She's my spirit animal. She's, like, amazing.
Aw. See, there's something about the romance, the ones that are sweet and sexy, but then they throw the funny and the humor in there. Those always get me. Those will always be my favorites, the ones that can throw humor in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love the banter. Like, I love, like, there's, like, something. That's what I like about rom-coms is, like, there's comedy there. There's jokes. There's just something funny about it.
Oh, yeah. I love that. Like, what was the one I think it was Romancing the Duke, and I think it was Tessa Dare. That audiobook had me rolling because it was all about her. She inherited this castle from this, like, godfather. He gave, like, four different girls different castles. And she shows up, and there's a man already living there. The Duke is already living there. He goes, no, this is my castle. He goes, well, I'm sorry. I think they thought he was dead or something. And so it kind of went, and his, like, solicitor sold it. And it was just this crazy rom-com mess. But it starts off like that, but it was so funny. It had so many funny moments in it. But, yeah.
That sounds really good. I definitely want to pick up. Tessa Dare is one of those authors that I want to pick up this fall. Like, I'm trying to read less arcs and just read more backlist. And I know she keeps popping up as, like, a go-to historical romance.
If you like audiobooks, too, because I found the audiobooks at my library, those were definitely really good. I just finished. The third one was okay. The first one and the second one in that series were the best.
Okay.
Definitely.
Okay, that sounds good. So now let's get to a round of book recommendations. So which three books did you read this month that you would recommend?
Okay, the first one actually came out this month, and I was lucky enough to get an ARC of it at BookCon. It was Kingdom of Exiles by Maxim Martineau.
Okay.
And I love that one. It was a romance. It's an adult romance, but the amount of fantasy in it, or it's a little paranormal, but I see it as fantasy because it actually deals with the main character who's a beast charmer, and she's down on her luck. She's been exiled, so she has to sell her beast, and they're magical, to kind of like on the black market. So she gets a hit out on her life from an assassin's guild, picks it up. And so she basically makes a bargain with them, like, hey, I will capture so many beasts for you if you take the hit on my life off. So they kind of go on this adventure of looking for these beasts. And so it really was half romance, half fantasy adventure. The world was really good. So it just shocked me how much fantasy was in it. You know, the paranormal or the fantasy romances nowadays, they'll just be like, oh, there's this little fantasy element, and then it immediately gets to sex. No, this one was a little more slow burn, and it had more world building that I'm used to seeing in like YA fantasy now. So I really love that part. Let's see, what's another one? I would say Wilder Girls by Rory Power was pretty good. If you like YA, it wasn't scary, but there was just something creepy and different about the story. Kind of like, what was the author of Fury Born? Oh, Saw Kill Girls. It had that kind of vibe of Saw Kill Girls. It just kind of had, it was a little less magical and more creepy, kind of what's really going on this island. It starts off 2 years after this, they call it the tox happened. Girls started exhibiting signs of like toxicity and like blisters, and it shows up differently on everyone. Like one girl pops up with gills, like it's just strange and unusual. And so they've been quarantined for like 2 years. So it kind of has a little Lord of the Flies feel. We still got two adults in play, but for the most part, like when they're pretty much having to scrap to survive, and they still get delivered food and medicine. But in the meantime, you're kind of just, they're trying to understand what's really going on. And you're always thinking in the back of your head, like, what is really going on? Someone experimenting with them? Is it something creepy? Is something going on? Because they keep bringing up the woods on the island, how the woods are just unnatural. And it's just got a creepy, good October vibe to it. It would be a good October read. Definitely.
We'll put it for October.
Let's see. The third one I would say is coming out the end of July. It's called The Rogue King by Abigail Owen.
Okay.
And I grabbed this arc on a whim off NetGalley. And I was like, you know what? Dragons, romance, sounds good. Click. I was so surprised with how much I love this one too. It had more world building like Kingdom of Exiles. So this one, it starts off with this woman who's a phoenix. And she kind of evades a dragon shifter because there's kind of like a lore to the dragon world where anyone who possesses a phoenix will automatically be king of the dragons, kind of like high king of the dragons. Like not just, you know, they've got king of the blue, king of the gold, but he'll be high king over everybody, rule everyone with a phoenix. And so she escapes him and sacrifices herself to save her four daughters. And so I think what's going to happen is there's going to be a book about each daughter, and it's just kind of like going to follow a different daughter and different couple each book, but you'll keep building on the world that already happened in the first book. And it was really good. It was kind of, it was very much, it had romance and definitely fantasy world building, paranormal, but it also had kind of an adventure, like, cause she gets, one of the daughters in hiding gets picked up by a rogue dragon who owes the blue dragon king a favor. So he ends up having to take her back. Well, of course, you know, people get wind that, you know, there's possible phoenix. so like they keep getting attacked and they just kind of do a whole bunch of side adventures, and it is really good. I really like that one. And I can't wait to read the next book of that one. That one in Kingdom of Exiles. Cannot wait to read The Rogue King, the second book. That one, definitely. But what are the three books you think you've read this month that you would recommend, Laura?
So I read American Royals by Catherine McGee. So if you haven't read Catherine McGee's earlier series, The Thousand Floors, that's a really cool Gossip Girl meets dystopia meets New York City on a big old tower, a thousand floors. So I really love that series. So she came up with a new series where it imagines the world if George Washington, instead of becoming a president, he became a king of the United States. And so they have a royal family. And then it's present day royal family. And they change the rules so they can, a queen can ascend the throne. So this is the story of her and her siblings about this whole process of her ascending the throne, but also just kind of like the intrigue, like she's supposed to marry another royal. The sister wants to be seen. So there's all these different things that happen. And it was so good. It was like a 5-star read. So it comes out in September. Put it on the TBR. Ooh. It is a 5-star read. It's so good.
I'm writing it down now. What's your next one?
So it's another arc. So I did read Leigh Bardugo's Ninth House, and I needed to mention that. So I did. I read it. It was really good. This is my first Leigh Bardugo. So I want to preface that I've never read Leigh Bardugo before. But I knew when I read the synopsis, it was about Yale secret societies. I was like, I need to read this book because I have a thing for secret societies in Yale. So this book is fantasy, I would say. It's set in modern era. There's some magical realism, but it's not, I wouldn't say like, it's an urban fantasy, I guess. Like there's some magic in the story, but there's stuff that happens in real life. Told trigger warnings, there's rape, there's date rape, there's drug use. So there's like a lot of trigger warnings, just an FYI. It is definitely gritty. It's definitely like just, it's gritty.
I was going to say, it sounds gritty.
It is.
Real world.
It's a real world college life / you know, kind of like, you know, magic in it with ghosts. And there's medical procedures and all the fun stuff. I don't know how to explain it, but the book is really good. I read it in one sitting. It has like 400 pages long. I'm seeing the arc. Like I don't have it with me because I've lent it already, but it's actually fairly good. It's a fairly good book to read. So it was worth the wait to get it.
Oh, yes. I have that one pre-ordered already. I'm itching for that one.
Yeah, I pre-ordered the finished copy. That's how much I like it.
Yes, it's good to hear that then.
Yeah, I was like, I need this book. I want to have the final copy. And most of the times when I get an arc, I don't buy the pre-order. I don't pre-order them because I'm like, yeah, whatever. But this one, I'm like, I want this. And there's going to be a book 2 in the series, so which I'm looking for.
Yeah, I find if you get an arc and you actually buy the book, you know you really liked it.
Yeah, so that was the second book. And the third book is The Friend Zone by Abby Jimenez. So this is my romance, and it was surprisingly, I heard reviews, so I was late to the game. So I'll tell you a story about The Friend Zone. So The Friend Zone, Forever's editorial assistant, was a guest on the show, and she mentioned The Friend Zone back in January, and she's like, you should like pick it up. And I was like, okay. And I didn't think much of it. I waited till I ended up moving and like life happened. So I didn't ask for it until like literally a month before, even though everyone on Instagram was like raving about it. It was like, oh, I'm just gonna figure out. And it was in the Villa NetGalley. So I just emailed them. I was like, can you get a copy? Just because I heard about it and I heard it's really good. And Estelle from Forever was like, yes, you can have a copy. And I was like, perfect. But my copy didn't arrive. It was a weekend of BookCon. So I went to a romance event the Saturday before BookCon at Books Are Magic. and they had the book. So I was like, let me just buy it and I'll get it signed. Cause I was like, I'm not sure when I'll see Abby again. So I got it signed. I bought the book. And that night when I got home, I got my copy of The Friend Zone. And I was like, okay, well, I guess I have two copies. So I'm like, abundance there. So I was like, okay, let me just give it a try. And I read it in one sitting. So the story is about there's fertility issues, but there's something that happens in the story that it will make sense until you read book two. That's the reason why, because book two was written before book one. So there's events that happen that makes the book really sad. But the way the story is shared is actually really good. There's good banter. There's a sassy heroine. It has a strong alpha male, you know, hero. They have issues with communications, as they always do. But there's like real life issues that were touched on that I really enjoy about this book.
That sounds really good. I think I got that one at Romance Book Crush too, or Candy Crush. Yeah. So I might have to bump that one up my TBR then if you really liked it.
Yeah, I really liked it. I think it was like a 4-star read. So I'm picky about my romance, and it's like there are times where I was like, oh, it's a 5-star read. This was a 4-star read. I think it's just like there's a sad part about it. I did not cry. There's a lot of people who cry. I did not cry. But I just felt like it was actually done really well. Like it was actually, I'm looking forward to the next book in the series. I really think she's a promising author that I would definitely want to be following her.
Yeah, definitely. That sounds like a really good read.
Yeah. So which book has been your biggest surprise that you read this year?
Let's see. I would have to say probably Crown of Feathers. That was another, I was in a book slump. I just read a really bad arc. It was my first bad arc ever requested. Didn't know how to write the review. And so the next one I picked up, I was like, okay, let me try to immerse myself into fantasy. And it had me sucked in within like the first two pages. Like, I just remember just going down the rabbit hole and just reading that book so fast. I had to reread part because I couldn't remember what happened.
Oh my gosh.
It's kind of like a romance, you know, you devour it in like 4 hours and you're like, okay, I don't remember everything that happened, but I remembered I really liked it.
Yeah.
But I really, really liked Crown of Feathers. That was that was definitely a 5-star read for that one. And it was just really, there's definitely some, it had twists. It had multiple points of view. It had sisters with drama, and it had phoenixes, but it had like rideable phoenixes. Apparently phoenixes are a theme this year for me. Like my second phoenix book I've read, but it was really, really good. And it had a little bit of, there's some LGBT characters in there with their points of view in there as well. So it had a little bit for everybody. And I really like that fact, but the overall story was really, really heartfelt, but also a lot of history. Like she put a lot of in-depth history into that world. So I'm kind of a nerd. So that just really touched my nerd bone. And I love that. So I'm excited for the second one. But yeah, that was the one that definitely surprised me this year. I was not expecting that, hadn't heard about it. And then it just came out of nowhere.
I love that, and
especially if it's like something you picked up and you kind of glanced at it, you don't know the full, you didn't read the full synopsis. You said, okay, that looks like something I'd like. And you grab it and you're like, whoa, that was amazing. I love that surprise.
Yeah.
But which book has been the biggest surprise for you that you've read this year?
So it's The Idea of You by Robin Lee. So this book came out in 2017. And I heard about it through Ashley Spivey from the Spivey Book Club. She's like, she's former Bachelor contestant who has a book club, like just like 15,000 people on Facebook. And she mentioned it to Grace Atwood and Becca Freeman from Bad on Paper podcast. So it's been kind of like, it's been mentioned. I was like, okay, like I follow that podcast and they're talking about it and they were like, they're reading it. And I'm like, okay, let me see what this book is all about. And I just picked it up on a whim. I paid full price and I typically do not pay full price for Kindle books. They're like $9.99. I don't pay for that. I'm like, that's too expensive. But for some reason, I had the inclination. I was like, let me pay full price. And I will tell you, I ended up buying a physical copy. So this is how much I love this book. So this book is about 40-year-old Celine, who falls in love with a boy bander, Hayes Campbell, who's 20 years old. And it's steamy. It's world traveling. It's so good. And it's a love story. It's not romance. And the ending leaves you kind of like, you want to kill the characters. You're like, really? You just like took me on a wild ride and you just like left me stranded. So I had a book hangover. There's a Bad on Paper podcast episode about the idea of you, and it's a support system process. There's a Facebook group that's a support system to basically just to get through the feelings about this book. That's how much it was riveting. And then wow. Author came into the Bad on Paper podcast, and she mentioned slowly that she may write a sequel, but she's not sure about it. So I'm hoping that she writes a sequel because it really needs a sequel. So I'm just like, it was so good. Like, I've been raving about this book for everyone that I know of. Like, that's the book you need to read. Like, it's
so good. I have not heard of that one. I'm definitely going to have to look up that one.
Yeah, I'll definitely look for it. Once you see it, then you start seeing it in other people's places. Like, it's one of those books that's like, I noticed once, and then it starts showing up like on Instagram, it starts showing up on book recommendations, it's just like starts showing up, and then I realized it was like everywhere at some point. So
that's funny.
And encourage you to pick it up. It's a book outlet, so you don't need. I ended up paying full price on Amazon, and then I saw there was a book outlet for $5. So, if you're gonna do book outlet order, just order on book outlet. But yeah, it's so good. And then listen to the episodes because there's like so much conversation about it. You're like, oh my gosh, like your fan fiction about like what the ending should look like. You know,
like support groups. There's the book support group.
Yeah. A book that has support group, it's a book that you should read.
It's I'm more worried about the ones that need support groups that you need to stay away from. Like, everyone's like, I loved it. But then they're like throwing it in like their Instagram stories. You're like, I don't know how much you really love that if you're throwing it across the room.
I know. I really loved the book, but it was like, I was so angry at the ending. Like, literally, I was just like angry at it. It was like, really? I was like, when is it? I was like not happy with the ending, but I absolutely adored this book. This book was everything that I was looking for. You know, it has a boy bander. So just like, it's actually loosely based on Harry Styles of One Direction. So with the 4-year-old, you know, art critic, you know, as a heroine, and she's like, you know, all sophisticated, and she's like dating a boy bander. So it's
it sounds crazy, but I can see how it would work. It would definitely be some drama in that relationship that would keep you reading.
Oh, she has a 13-year-old daughter. That's how she meets him.
Oh, good God.
Yeah, she has a 13-year-old daughter.
She meets him at a concert.
She meets him at a concert and meet and greet. And he's like, I like you. Come back safe after the concert. So, yeah, that's how they meet.
Wow. But that sounds like really good. Okay, I'm going to have to put that one on my list too. Yeah. Dang, you're making my TBR even longer.
I know. I'm sorry. But, yeah, the idea of you is a must read. I feel like that should be my standard book recommendations where everyone's like, just read The Idea of You. If you're not a romance reader, just still read The Idea of You. It's so good.
It's like, if I tell you anything, read this book.
Yes, pretty much. So, all right. So are there any books that you read that you think we should skip?
Oh, okay. So I'm going to say the first one would be, I only got two. The first one would be Damsel by, I think, Elena Arnold. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to say her first name, but it was one of those books that had a twist. But if you guess the twist, you're not going to want to read the rest of it. So I'm reading the first two chapters, and by the second chapter, I guess the twist. So the rest of the story felt long and drawn out. And I'm like, and the character was annoying me because I knew, even though she didn't know in the book. So you start to get frustrated. So that was a very frustrating read for me. I thought it could have been a good, like, short story. Like, if it was just a short story, it wouldn't have been that drawn out with the twist. Mm-hmm. Like, even if I guessed it, it would have only been, like, less than 100 pages, right? And I could have... I could have dealt with that, but like 300 pages of that, it drove me nuts. But that one I would skip, just personal pain. I would skip that one. The second one was actually the arc that I didn't like before Crown of Feathers. It was The Warrior Maiden by Melanie Dickerson. And I hadn't read any of her books before, but I knew it was by like a Christian publisher. So I figured, you know, it would be light. There wouldn't be any sexy scenes. There might be some talk of Christianity in it. I was okay with that because it was a Mulan retelling. I was all about the Warrior Maiden and the Mulan retelling. Mm-hmm. And, oh, dear God, that one had so many sermons. You started reading 10 pages and they'd mentioned something. I'm like, okay, cool. If they just mentioned stuff every once in a while, that's fine. 20 more pages, 30 more pages. By page 50, I was checked out. There was one section where she was talking to the love interest, and it was almost like they had a preachy sermon back and forth for 3-4 pages. I was like, what is going on? Can someone like shoot arrows at them or something? Like I was not in it for that. And then the worst thing, which is probably a spoiler, if you really want to read it, maybe fast forward about 10 seconds. The guy saves her at the end. You know, in every Mulan retelling and Mulan story, Mulan is a bad chick. Like, she can handle herself. She learns how to fight. She learns how to train. She's pretending to be a guy, so she kind of had to. But, you know, she can take care of herself. But it just kind of frustrated me that I went through all of that, and then the guy saves her at the end. It just rubbed me the wrong way. I was like, no, she's supposed to show how strong she is at the end and defeat all. And he's supposed to feel stupid that he doesn't love her if he doesn't love her yet. But yeah, that one, those two were definitely frustrating. I would just skip them. I'm pretty sure there's more Mulan retellings out there that I could read better than that. But how about you, Laura? Were there any books that you read that you think we can skip?
I think The First Mistake by Sandy Jones. So I read The Other Woman earlier late last year. I read it because it was Reese's pick. And I really enjoyed that book. It was actually fun. It was like a nice twist. I saw the twist happening, but I enjoyed the story. So The First Mistake, I was expecting a thriller. And The First Mistake is more like a domestic fiction about a married couple and a best friend. You're trying to figure out what the twist is. And yeah, the twist in the end was unexpected, but it was still like I really did not connect it. And I remember reading it and being like, I just want this book to be over. And that's not a good feeling when you're reading a book. So like I would say skip The First Mistake. Do read The Other Woman. Because The Other Woman is a mother-in-law. So it's an interesting twist. It's like not, you know, it's not another mistress. So that book actually was really good. But yeah, The First Mistake, I would say skip it and just move on.
Yeah, I can't do just plain drama. Like, you got to mix in the drama with some fantasy or a lot of romance. Or I can't just read plain drama.
Yeah. Yeah, just drama and single drama. Yeah.
Yeah, no, don't like that.
So what books are on your TBR for the rest of the summer?
The rest of the summer, well, like this month, I started reading like Helena Hunting, Tessa Dare, Tessa Bailey. So I'm going to keep trying to read the rest of their books. Mm-hmm. And like, I still have to read Meet Cute by Helena Hunting. And I think The Good Luck Charm, I've heard mixed things about it, but I have high hopes I might like it. And also The Simple Wild by K.A. Tucker. Mm-hmm. It looks like a good summer read. I've heard good things about that one as well. Mm-hmm. And then I actually have an arc for House of Salt and Sorrows, which is kind of a creepy, slightly twisted YA retelling the 12 Dancing Princesses. So I'm really excited about that one. It's like this girl is living in this giant mansion, probably in secluded nowhere. I only know pieces of it. But she's got 12 sisters, and several of them have already died from mysterious circumstances. So it mentioned something about, like, it kind of had the same thing as almost like Wilder Girls. Like, something is happening. We don't really know what. Is someone killing the girls off? Is something creepy going on at this house? Is it supernatural? So I'm excited to read that one, definitely. But then there was one other one. It was, I got it in my first book of the month box. It was Symptoms of a Heartbreak.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, it just, because it's medical, you know, because I'm actually in the medical field. So I'm like, oh, like, she's like a young teen, and it's Own Voices. She's a young teen who's actually a resident. And so she starts like a shift at the hospital, and I think she meets a boy who might be a patient or something. But it just looks right up my alley. Like, anything medical drama, I'm going to reach for, too.
Yeah, I have that art. So if you want to body read it, I'll be more than happy to do it.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. So I read The Simple Wile, and I absolutely loved it. It's so good. It's all set in Alaska, and there's some sad parts, just expectations. But other than that, it's actually a really good book. There's some steamy scenes in the cabin. So slow burn. That's the one I remember. Good luck charm. Just good luck charm. I enjoy it. So I didn't have issues with that. I know I read some reviews. There were like a lot of issues and like the characters and whatnot. I personally was like, it was like a 4-star read. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed Helen Hunting. Her standalones are good. So it just basically is not as funny as Checking Up series or Pot series. That's one thing. It's just like a good story.
Okay, so little less on the humor and the comedy, but it's still Helena Hunting.
Yeah, it's still Helena Hunting, okay. But it's just less on the humor.
That sounds good. What are you planning on reading this summer?
So I just got a copy of the Royal Holiday, so I'm reading that tonight. I'm very excited about that one. So I think The Last Post by Renee Carlino. That comes out on August 6th. I'm looking forward to reading it. I read most of Renee Carlino's books, and they're really good. They're romance, but they're not steamy romance. They're just kind of like just slow burn romance, where the characters may kiss, they may hook up, but they may not. It just ends at that point of the story. Like, it just doesn't follow like the characters and being in a relationship. But I enjoy her writing a lot. And then The Cactus by Sarah Haywood. So that one, actually, I started listening to it, and I didn't like the narration, so I was able to pick it up, and I'm about 12% of it. It reminds me of Elmer Oliphant. It's completely fine, so it seems like a quirky character who happens to get pregnant at 40-something. So I still haven't reached the pregnancy part, but that's what the story is about. So it seems like a cutesy book to read.
That sounds interesting too. But we have so many books to read for the summer.
We do have so many books to read for the summer. It's crazy. So
I just remembered another one. I have an arc for, I'm actually a part of her like reading team. It's she's a Kindle book author. She's usually on Kindle Unlimited, but it's J.T. Geisinger, I think is how you pronounce her last name. But okay. I'm excited because I have the one for Dangerous Desires, and she has really steamy books. There's some that have that aren't. Some of them are a little more wicked and twisted. Like, the characters have like really twisted backstories. Mm-hmm. There's nothing like too, trigger warning in the book, but the characters sometimes have trigger warning stuff in their past that they bring up. But, but that just makes it, some of her series are a little more darker. This one was about, it started with Dangerous Beauty, and I have the arc for the second one. And Dangerous Beauty was about a girl kind of like running away from her mafia husband,
mm-hmm.
who come to find out wasn't her husband. She was kind of trapped with him. And he sent a guy to come watch her from a separate security firm, which actually that security firm takes place in a trilogy before even this. So she has a lot of little, she likes to like hint at little snippets from her other series. Like this character had a teeny tiny part here. Guess what? He's going to get his own series now. Or like she'll mention like, oh yeah, I like the band Bad Habit. Bad Habit was one of her other series. So I like reading her stuff because she inserts little Easter egg stuff like that.
Love it. I love when authors do that. It's like it just takes you to a rabbit hole of like more books to read. Like there's quite a few authors that I follow that I love that they have like series and spinoffs and more series and another spinoff, and they all tie together, you know, in their world.
Yes, and I love it when they take when an author can take, okay, I'm gonna have a trilogy, but I'm gonna do a different set of characters on each trilogy. That was her Bad Habit series. That was the first one I read. Mm-hmm. And it was all about this girl who kind of was attracted to a guy in a band, and the next two books were all about her friends that ended up being attracted to other guys in the band. So it kind of, but you still got to see glimpses of like the people from the first book and the second book, and in the third book you got to see glimpses of the first and the second book people. So it just kind of followed along, and I love that. I love series that build on each other like that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, I love romance. I have
we love romance.
Yeah. So thank you, Lauren, for being on the show.
You're welcome. It was fun. I would definitely be willing to do this again. I had a lot of fun and got a whole bunch more books for my TBR. Thank you.
I know. So the thing about having this podcast for me is that like my TBR is always exploding. It's like I just have more books to read. I'm like, how am I going to read them all? So, but it's exciting. So now we want to hear from you. What are you currently reading? So come on over to the blog, watch the next blog, and share your favorite new books. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We'll be back next week with a brand new author interview. If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider leaving a review on iTunes. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you so much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.